Glory to the Son of God. Glory to the Son of God. What a vision. That soon we're all going to be in heaven with the Father and with the Son, with all our loved ones. And today we're here on earth with the Spirit of God living in us. Glory to the Son of God. A wise man once said that we should live our lives so the transition from earth to heaven is hardly noticeable. When you spend your entire day built around God, praising Him, worshiping Him, being aware of the presence of God in you, living for Him, doing what He says, speaking His word, wearing His armor, walking in His victory, covered by His blood, that's not much different from being in heaven. And in fact, our Lord says, pray that His will be done on earth today as it is in heaven. He wants us to live heaven and earth every day. Every day. But when that wise man said that, he was thinking that one day people would die. The mortal flesh would die. And to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And he was thinking, live your life so that when the spirit leaves the body, leaves this housing, leaves this clothing, leaves this outfit, and goes to heaven, you hardly notice the difference. I want to take it a little bit further today. I want to say that you want to live your life so that you're living heaven on earth. You're living for Him. He's in you, and you are in Him. And that you live in the glory of opening all the gifts for which He paid the price. That you live on earth as an adult in the family of God. That you live by the truth in the scripture. In 1 John 4:17. For as He is, so are we on this earth. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He says, when I return, shall I find faith? When He returns, shall I find faith? I think really a higher level of translation is, when I return, I shall return when I find faith. That He shall come back when He finds faith. What faith? The faith to live on earth as He is. The faith to understand that we're strangers in a strange land. God brought us into an unplanned series called Stranger in a Strange Land. And this is part four. Part four and the final part of Stranger in a Strange Land. Moses said in Exodus chapter 2, verse 22, he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. He was a stranger in the land of Egypt. He was a stranger in that country. His people were slaves, and he was living at a high level. But he forsook the pleasures and the wealth of being in Pharaoh's family, and he left Egypt to go off to spend 40 years in training and preparation, that he'd become the mouthpiece for God, that he would grow up in the things of God so that God would say to him, I will make you a God to Pharaoh. That the Most High God, the only true God, made Moses on earth as a God to Pharaoh. Moses on earth partook of the promises of God, partook of that divine nature of God, true God's promises, by being God's spokesman and was a God to Pharaoh. Just as Adam was to partake of the divine nature of God, for God spoke His life into him and gave him Godship over the earth, gave him authority and dominion over everything on the earth and that moved up on the earth. In 2 Peter, Chapter 1, let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And in most Bibles, 2 Peter comes right after 1 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at three verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. We desire grace, more and more grace. God's help when we don't deserve it. And that comes through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. The more you know about God and Jesus, the more you know about the Bible, is the more the Word of God in you will set you free, and the more the Word of God will bring you to a point where lack of knowledge won't cause you to perish. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And the way to avoid perishing from lack of knowledge is to obtain the grace that comes through knowledge. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us all things that pertain to life. Every challenge of life, that solution has already been given to you. That you may live a godly life. That you may live a life so that when you transit to heaven, and the preferred way is to go up in the rapture. When you make that transition, you'll hardly notice the difference. Because you've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. And how does it come? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory. His glory in us. His glory in us changing us from the inside out. His glory in us coming out and changing the people around us. His glory in us causing every demon, devil, and evil spirit to flee in terror. For if you resist the devil, if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. James 4, verse 7. If you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee. If you submit yourself to the promises of God, that what God has called you to be in this earth, now, in this time, if you submit yourself to those promises and you resist the devil by speaking God's word and keeping the armor of God on, the devil will flee, and the word flee means run as if in terror. The devil is to run from you and me as if in terror. See, the thing is, many Christians want the devil to flee from them in terror when he's trying to attack them with sickness and disease, right? But sometimes they're not that dramatic when he's attacking them with sinful thoughts and sinful behavior. It is as if some people have these pet demons. And they don't mind the pet demons. But they don't want the ones that come in with challenges. And so what we all need to do is get the pet demons out of our lives. Because we love God. We are here this Sunday morning in this building because we love God. And because we love God, we want to open all the gifts. Because we love God, we want to understand God has called us to be strangers in a strange land and come out of the land. Come out of the land in two steps. Come out of the land by coming out of the natural, scientific, and principles of this earth that are manipulated by the enemy and move into the heavenly principles and the spiritual laws that overcome the evils of this world. That's one phase. We come out here, so as he is, so are we in this world. But then come out of this earth, just as Noah came out of the world of evil, by getting in his ark, and on his ark he saw the earth destroyed by flood. He came out of the sinful world. Just as Lot came out of sinful Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was destroyed. Just so we are going to come out of this earth and be caught up in the air with him, and this earth will be destroyed by fire. God wants us to come out in two phases. And you cannot count in the phase of going up and be raptured until you come out of the laws of this world, of realizing you're a stranger in this strange land, and God wants you to come out of it. He wants you to come out of it and move into better promises. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. God has put not just his nature in us. He's put himself in us. God is in us, changing us from the inside out, wanting to flood our entire being with himself, that we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. The driving forces of the flesh create a corruption which try to keep you tangled down in the world system, try to keep you tangled down in sin and evil and things that are not of God. Try to keep you tangled down in things of mortality and things that are natural, where Jesus has already paid the price for you to walk as sons and daughters and kings and priests. So we desire to come out of this corruption, come out of these driving forces that attack the body. And the key in doing that is to understand that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're strangers in a strange land. We have a legal right to be in this earth because we have a body. And our body gives us the legal right to be in this earth, which is why Jesus, why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That body gave God the legal right to operate on earth. And then, with that body coming into the earth, the Word became flesh and lived as a man under the authority and dominion of Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:28. He took the same authority and power given to Adam, took it and showed that man could do it and defeated Satan. And in defeating Satan, won back for us everything that Adam had, plus much, much more. Adam had authority, for example, only on the earth and the things that move on the earth. But Jesus gave us authority on the earth and the heavenlies. All the things in the heavenlies, authority in heaven on earth. Adam only had one chance. Sin once, it was gone. Our sins have been remitted, washed away, as if they never existed. And when we fall, we just get up. We just get up and we repent. According to 1 John 1:9, we repent. We say, Lord, we agree according to your word that this is sinful. I receive my forgiveness that Jesus paid for. Help me not to do it again. And you move back into that place of being a new creature, free of the shackles of those sins. You keep getting up. There's a man named Floyd Patterson, heavyweight champion of the world. He was knocked down a lot of times on the ring. One time he was knocked down 7 times in one fight. But he got up 8 times. And they say, man, you are the most knocked down fighter in history. He says, no, I'm the most getting up fighter in history. Amen? Bible says, a righteous man falls many times, but the Lord raises them back up. A Christian should never be down. You should be up or getting up. Get up. Get up and be a world champion. Get up and be the king and the priest that Jesus called you to be. He didn't make you to be a king or a priest. He made you to be a king and a priest. God wants you to have the spiritual power and the natural power of wealth. He wants you to have both. And he's giving you the power to get both. So we're always getting up. But the reason why we fall is because we're in this body. The body is, in a sense, both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing in that it gives us the legal right to be on earth, but it's a curse in that the body is deceived by the devil in thinking it belongs to this earth. And so it wants to keep you functioning in the natural laws of this earth. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. We'll start in verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service because your body doesn't belong to you anyway. It belongs to God. Amen? Your body belongs to God. Your body is a temple of God. You're just a custodian. and the caretaker. So just as it is reasonable and wise to give God's tithe back to God, because the first 10% belongs to God of everything that comes to you, just so you should give the body back to him, because he bought it with the most precious price of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you present your body a living sacrifice. Why do you present your body a living sacrifice? Because to move into the more of the fullness of the gifts that Jesus Christ paid for, to move into that power and authority, we need to have dominion over our body. The body is our interface to the natural world. And the mind is that gateway to the body and to the world around us. In Psalm 24, in fact, you know, let's turn there. Keep a mark in Romans, and let's turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face. We are that generation. Psalm 102, verse 20, a couple of verses before and after, tell the following story. It says, a generation would arise, and the Messiah would come to deliver those who have the appointment with death. The Messiah would come to deliver those who have the appointment with death. Psalm 102, verse 20. You want to read the first couple of verses before and after. That generation for whom Jesus came to deliver from the appointment with death, that's this generation here that seek his face. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. He's calling us gates. Why are we gates? Because God lives in us, and the glory of God in us flows out of us to the world. The first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam was a spirit of life, a spirit that gave life, a quickening spirit. And he is our Savior, our Lord. He is the one who brought us out of spiritual Egypt into this new land. This land with new and better promises. And put life into us. And said, freely have you received, freely give. That's why we can go out and lead people to Jesus Christ, into new birth, into new life. That's why we can lay hands on people and the life in us drives sickness and disease out of them. That's why we can speak the words and demons of death will come out of people. Because we have life and life lives in us. We are the gates that carry around and loose upon this world the King of glory. And be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. We are gates and doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Wherever you go, heaven goes. You're a stranger in a strange land, and your job is to be the tabernacle that brings the King of glory wherever you go. That wherever you set your foot, that's holy ground, because the Spirit of God is in you. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Habakkuk chapter 4, verse 19. Habakkuk 4, verse 19 says, the Lord is your strength, in the Amplified Bible. The Lord is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. You are walking around with an invincible army in you, and when you speak, the Lord of the hosts of heaven releases the armies of heaven on your behalf. Because you're a stranger in a strange land. You're in the strange land of the enemy who doesn't like you. And you need God's glory in front of you and behind you and around you at all times. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. He says it twice in case we're reading too fast. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, The Lord of the armies of heaven comes in when you come in. He is the King of glory. Amen? I think after that we could go home, actually. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But we're just getting started. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because if you don't, then Satan and his liars will attack your body. And they'll team up with your body to tell you that you want to do things which God doesn't want you to do. For you to move into the power and the authority that Jesus purchased for you, into that dominion, then you need to have dominion over your body. To have dominion over sickness, disease, infirmity, accidents, devils, death, you need to have dominion over your body. Because if you don't have dominion over your body, the demons will come in and get your body to do something you don't. It's like if there is a man who is challenged with, let's use heroin. We have a couple people here who prayed for somebody who was heroin addicted. Prayed for them, man got set free like that. Just like that. Here today, gone. So this man that they prayed, well, not him, let's pick another person. Let's say they prayed for another person who doesn't exist. And that person who doesn't exist got set free today from heroin addiction. No withdrawal symptom, nothing, just miraculous.